Well, at our service over at Atonement today, Isaac Weatherly will be affirming his baptism. So it's Confirmation Sunday over there. And so I wanted to start out with Isaac's Bible verse that he chose. And it's a little bit funny. I had my meeting with Isaac, and we got through everything. I'm like, all right, that's all I really have. You know, he had asked his questions. I had asked mine. And then we walked out to the parking lot to greet his mother. And then it turns out his grandma was in the car with them as well. And so we said some greetings. Then I said, oh, my goodness, I forgot to ask you, what's your your Bible verse? And he said, oh, yeah, I have that for you. But we had both forgotten. And I thought, how appropriate. What an introduction to being an adult in the Christian church is that parking lot conversations, right? Much of church gets done in the parking lot when you're, you know, yelling between minivans or SUVs or trucks or sedans, especially during COVID, right? We did a lot of that in the parking lot where we yelled between cars. But I just really appreciate the verse that Isaac chose from Micah chapter 6. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Well, as we hold that in our hearts today and our prayers go out to Isaac and his family after years of preparation for this day, and also a little bittersweetness to this day, as many of you know, Isaac's dad, Larry, died just a few years ago. And it's very sad that his dad, who was such a pillar of the faith community, died before he could see his son affirm his faith. So as we hold that in our hearts, I invite us to turn our attention to what you probably know at this point. This is probably my seventh sermon to you about this particular text. I might have preached to you about this one more than any other. So here we go. Have you ever had a friend tell you, I saw this amazing movie, you have to see it? Or perhaps a loved one has told you, I've read this book, you have to read it, it's so good. And you see their enthusiasm, but of course your own enthusiasm doesn't match it. You're like, that's nice. And also you don't get it just yet because you have to see it for yourself, or you have to read it for yourself, or if it's a podcast or something, you have to hear it for yourself. We don't often fully accept what others tell us right away. I think of a friend who years ago recommended a book to me, and then I went to the library years later, 5 years later, and then the first book that popped up when I did a search for a certain topic was the book that she had recommended, and I thought, right, Jen had recommended that book to me. And I read it, and then I went to Jen and started talking to her, and she's like, I barely remember reading the book at this point, right? The moment has passed. Then she had to read the book again, and then we could have a good conversation over coffee. You see, we don't buy into hype right away. This is a very human thing. We need to see for ourselves. There's a healthy amount of skepticism in just about anything, even when it comes to like trying out a new restaurant, right? People will tell you, go and try this place, it's so good. I remember hearing that about Chipotle a long time ago. And then when I went, I was like, this is really good. That was when it was a lot cheaper than it is now. Prices have gone up so much. Anyway, the evangelist, John, who writes this gospel, knows this. He knows this human condition. John's gospel exhibits a pattern in which someone hears about Jesus and needs more, and then receives what they need to come to their own experience of the life Jesus is embodying in the world. In John's first chapter, Philip tells Nathanael that they have found the one written about in the law and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth. Skeptical, you might remember, Nathanael asks, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip simply replies, come and see. After encountering Jesus, Nathanael quickly believes, confessing him as the Son of God and the King of Israel. That's a big deal. Similarly, the woman at the well invites her neighbors, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Many first believe because of her testimony, but come to faith after hearing Jesus themselves. Then there is on Easter morning, Mary telling the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." That evening, while they're hiding in fear, Jesus appears among them, offering peace and showing his wounds. The disciples rejoice, and then they go forward and tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas responds with the same kind of doubt seen before, hesitant, questioning, and needing to see for himself. Thomas will not be shamed into believing or shamed into at least keeping his unbelief to himself. Neither will Thomas ignore what he knows in order to believe something he does not know. The NRSV translation of our Bible says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Those words cut right to the heart of the matter. Many of us, like Thomas, need to see to believe. We want to see proof that Jesus did really come back. Because sometimes, or perhaps often, we doubt. And God blesses us anyway. This story isn't so much about Jesus rebuking Thomas for disbelief as it is about blessing us through the ages for believing though we do not see. The Bible story connects with us in the here and now. It connects to our daily lives, those times when we see something horrible on the news and think, "How can this have happened?" And perhaps even, "Where is God in all of this?" However, the sobering reality is that most of us, even us as Christians, are unlikely to even consider God when we see the news. We do our best, but for some of us, for a variety of reasons, it's unlikely that we consciously connect with God in our daily lives. Turns out that research shows that for many, church is something we might do on a Sunday, and then we don't really deal with it for the rest of the week. Often, with or without realizing it, we think of church as something irrelevant until we need it. In the same way, the Bible might seem like something distant. The stories of the gospel may seem like stories of the distant past, perhaps history lessons that don't really have anything to do with the here and now. We know that that's not how it is. We are reminded that the Bible reveals to us who God is. The Bible connects us to the past and to the future, reminding us that God is with us here and now, way back then, and into the future. The many writers of the Bible did not write for the sake of writing a history of what was happening. The gospel writers did not imagine that they were telling stories about things that happened in the past. Instead, they were making what they believed were revolutionary claims that they hoped would shape the immediate present and future of everyone who heard them or read them. So, just after our gospel from this morning, for instance, we hear John confess that while he could have shared many other stories about Jesus, he chose these particular stories because he hoped that everyone who heard them would actively believe that Jesus is God's Messiah, the Savior of the world. John, in other words, is inviting us into the story, inviting us to make this story our story. And when the story becomes our own, it provokes a living faith in the living God. There are several points in the Gospel of John through which we are invited into the story. A few chapters earlier, John offers one of these doors. I'm thinking of the high priestly prayer where Jesus prays for his disciples, asking God's care and protection for them, especially after he has gone. About two-thirds of the way through this lengthy prayer, Jesus says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." Friends in Christ, Jesus is talking about you. You believe because of the words that those who went before you said. Jesus is talking about you, about us. His words reach across the millennia to include us, to invite us. After all, we are some of those who have believed because of the word of those original disciples. And each time we read this passage, we actually get to hear Jesus praying all those centuries ago for us. Now, I'm sure I haven't shared this concept with you before, but each time I revisit it, it just hits me. Jesus is talking to you, to us, praying for us before we were ever even imagined. God loves us so much that Jesus took the time to pray for us. I realize that this is the low week after the big hurrah of Easter and Holy Week. That's what I didn't realize that until I became a pastor. I'm a little slow, I guess, in that way. But I, probably because I like this text so much, right? It hits me to my core. But it is beautiful in a different way than the Easter story is. So Easter is, Alleluia, He is risen. But this is where the rubber hits the road. God is with us when things are really difficult, when we are grieving, when we are mourning, and when we are joyful and celebrating. God is with us, and Jesus knows us each by name. We are claimed by God, and God cares so much. So I want you to hear those words again. I want you to be invited into the story just like Thomas, not to sit back and listen, but to actually jump in and make this story your own. Hear Jesus' words. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Jesus is not rebuking Thomas. No, instead, this is a place where the story opens up and invites us to realize that we are already standing in the middle of the story. We are a part of the story. We have believed without seeing Jesus for ourselves. We have believed and we struggle to continue believing without ever seeing with our eyes or touching with our hands. Jesus is blessing us. We are blessed and invited to learn from the faith and fear, courage and mistakes of those who have come before. But we are now invited also to get involved, participating in God's ongoing work to save and bless all of the world. And not through shame and guilt and rebuke, but through invitation, through joy, through other people seeing the good life we have in Jesus Christ and getting curious and asking, tell me more about that. We don't have to convince anyone else. We have to live our lives as disciples of Jesus. So, friends in Christ, remember you are a part of the story. When you read the Bible, you are not just reading history, you are reading your story. And with that story, you are sent out to bless the world with God's grace. So the next time someone tells you, I saw the best movie, you have to see it. Or if they say, listen to this podcast, it's great, you learn a lot. I want you to remember that you are blessed to be a blessing. You are invited to invite others. Come and see. May we go forth from this place remembering that doubt is not a problem for our God. God blesses us and loves us just the same and sends us out to be a blessing to the entire world. Alleluia and amen. I invite you to sing together, We Walk by Faith, number 635.